Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be finishing up this chapter this morning, Lord willing. Been going through a series in this particular chapter about our walk. And we're going to continue this morning. And the title of this message this morning is Walking in Submission. And hopefully we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. And let's begin reading in verse number 19. I'm just going to back up to where we closed off last week and then finish on with the rest of this chapter. It says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This all takes place because we're trying to get to a point in our lives to walk together in unity. Last week, last Sunday night, we did a little bit of a different gathering as we normally do. We come in, we sit down, we sing, and we have a message, and then we go on our way. Last week, we did a little bit different because of what we're learning here in the book of Ephesians. And so we took the time last week to really just give God some praise through our songs. So we sang a little bit different last week. We didn't have four songs. We had about six songs. And then in between time, we had a great time of testimony. And we did that not to bring glory to God, to man, but we did that to bring glory to God. And we're able to do those things because we're getting to a place of walking together in unity. So as we continue to go on, verse number 21, and let me, before I go on here, please have an open mind as we go through this morning. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Lord, again, we are delighted to be here this morning. God, I pray that, again, that you would use me to speak to your people. God, I pray that I would not say anything against your word. I pray, Lord, that I would not bring any embarrassment to you. Lord, I say this for this reason, because I am human. And we do make mistakes. And so, God, I pray that you, as the word is being preached, that hearts and lives would be attentive to your word so that we can better equip ourselves to go out and to be better servants for you. We pray for our next hour to come as well. We pray that you be with our pastor, give him great strength, give him great boldness, great wisdom behind the pulpit this morning. And we ask you these things in your precious name. Amen. Today we're going to see a few things, and we just read them, so let me just give them to you again if you want to write them down. One, we're going to be talking about submitting or submission. And second, we will see the importance of love. These two go hand in hand. And the third, we will see why the first two steps are needed for unity. So hopefully we can establish that today. Before we even begin this lesson, again, please try to have an open mind. Because normally what happens, people come to church and they close their mind automatically and they don't want to listen. And if that's you, I hope you can have a change of heart this morning. So many people shut this lesson down because of the word of submission. Remember, God has a purpose for the church and individuals as well when it comes to the word submit or submission. Submission, submitting, is an act of following. That's what it is. It's an act of following. I'm going to give you something that I thought was kind of interesting as I was studying this week. Any leader who does not submit to wise counsel of those he leads is plunging the whole organization into disaster. It's a good thought, which is why I thought it would be good for us to hear that. So what do we fear when we will not to submit to one another? There's an actual fear that takes place in our lives when we hear the word submit, and the preacher's telling us, man, I got to submit to my wife, and now I'm also hearing the church needs to submit to Christ, and we automatically become in fear to those things. And so we're going to discuss that just a little bit. Could it be, is it the loss of control? Because when we're submitting to somebody, we're thinking to ourselves, well, I'm no longer going to have control of myself. I'm no longer going to have control of the situation. So could it be, is it a loss of control? Second, could it be because it might be a loss of power? Is that why we might be afraid of submitting one to another? Do we fail to make peace with an offended brother because we are afraid of losing a battle? Think about those things. We see that pride, through this, when it comes to submitting, rears its ugly head in individuals, causing us to feel that we are about to lose something. But in reality, we're not losing anything, we're gaining. And we got to think about what we are gaining in this when it comes to, as a church, submitting ourselves to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because there's so much that we can gain from that. There's a lot of benefits in that. There's also a lot of benefits and a lot of things that you can gain as a wife when a wife begins to submit herself to her husband. Again, that word submit is following. So what does that mean, men? Men, if you want your wife to follow you, then by golly, you better lead her. Do I need to say that again, men? Are you sleeping? I'm serious. If you want your wife to follow, then you better lead. Because here's what we're dealing with in our society today. Men are no longer leading their families. They're taking the back seats, and they're allowing their wife to lead the family. And the wife has taken the role of the man in our world today, and that's not how it should be. Because men do not see the responsibility of being the leader for their family. And so now you have a wife who realized what submission is, and she's submitting her life to God, and she's married to this husband who's not leading, but she's got children with this husband, and she wants her children to be raised and nourished in the Word of God. And so the woman nowadays has to take on the role of the leadership of a man and begin to lead her family because the man will not do that thing. So I'm going to say it again. Men, if you want your wife to follow you, then you better lead her. Amen? You better lead her. So as we continue this subject, pride will rear its ugly head, causing us to feel that we are about to lose something, but we're going to gain. This is why the Bible shows humility to be a choice. Amen? The fear of loss to our ego has to be challenged and overcome. I'm going to give you this thought because I like this thought. Overcomers are conquerors, and this is a great attribute to have. Isn't it great to be an overcomer? Amen? Okay, well, let's continue to go on. Did you guys stay up late last night? I know sometimes Pastor says when Chad begins to teach, go ahead and go to sleep. Please wake up. You can go to sleep the next hour. I got you back, Dad. I hear those jokes you tell people in the van, so it comes back to me. But anyways, we continue to go on here. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is submitting so difficult? There can be many reasons to why some feel this way, But maybe it's because it's a sense of a loss of freedom. Let me begin to explain this. The thought could occur in our minds, what do I have to give up to be in submission, whether it be to Christ or to my husband? If this is how we look at it, a loss of freedom, we are thinking wrong about what it means to submit. I'm going to give you a few reasons why we should submit. One, to show that we are willing to follow. I've just hit on this for the last few moments, so hopefully that will stick with you. We need to be willing to follow when it comes to submitting. The second reason is because of this, and we're going to deal with this towards the end of this chapter. The second reason why we submit is because we love. And love will give us the ability to do things that seem impossible. That's what love does for us. And hopefully we can see this as we continue to go on. Submitting to your husband is saying, I'm trusting you to lead us closer to the Lord. Women, with a nod of your head or maybe an amen, how many of you would say, I would love for my husband to lead me closer to the Lord? Amen. That's what we need. Is our husbands taken, so don't get me wrong when I say that, because I know people are going to say, well, Chad, you just realized you said our husbands, you put yourself in there. I'm talking about the women here, okay? Women that are married, that are God-fearing women, desire for their spouse to lead them closer to the Lord. You know, one of the amazing things that I've seen take place over my life as I begin to look out at the elderly who have been around for a long time and been married for many years is the little old lady just taking a back seat, being humbled, and letting her husband lead her to Christ. That's an important job, men, that we have when it comes to taking on the responsibility of being a godly husband, is leading our wives closer to the Lord. And where are some areas that we can be of help to our spouse when it comes to leading them closer to the Lord? Well, there's a few things that I can think off of the top of my head that I didn't write down. One is we can be an encouragement to help her to have more of a desire to read her Bible on a daily basis. The second thing I believe that we can do to lead her closer to the Lord is this: encourage her to have a deep, intimate prayer life with her Lord. And I'll guarantee you this, as she's opening up her word and allowing God to speak to her, and then as the word of God is speaking to her, she begins to go in prayer, there's a few things that she's praying for. I can almost guarantee you this. And on the top of her list is this: God, please guide my husband. God, please give my husband the wisdom and the ability and the character that he needs to be a godly man for myself and for the children that I bore with him. And I'll guarantee you this, as she begins to pray for those things, there's going to be a couple things that's going to happen. One, the most important thing is her relationship with God is going to grow immensely. Why? Because the husband is taking a role and taking a part in the life of his wife, being an encouragement to have a better relationship with the Lord. And so her relationship is going to flourish with the Lord. And she's going to be able to, during times that the man needs some guidance, she's going to be able to give her wisdom to you. By the way, I seek the wisdom of my wife. There are times where I'm not even embarrassed to say this. There'll be times I'll just cry on her shoulder, because I'm seeking her wisdom, because I know that she's seeking God. Now, if she wasn't, I wouldn't be seeking that. But she's able to give me wisdom in areas that I might not have. So as her relationship with God begins to grow, here's what's going to take place. This is a beautiful picture. All husbands and wives should have a desire to grow even closer together. I mean, when you think about a husband and a wife being married, I was thinking about someone, I was getting my hair cut yesterday, and of course my hairstylist, she was making fun of how light my hair has gotten lately, and she gets her jabs in at me, that's fine, and I said, you know, I really can't help it. I take after my father and his side of the family. And she goes, I'd like to see a picture of your father. So I pulled out a picture of my father that he just took a few weeks ago with my daughter in the back. And she goes, oh, he's a handsome man, very handsome. I said, well, now you know where I get this from. But I said this, you know, I said, one thing I really appreciated about my dad is this, is the years of marriage that he and my mom have had. And I believe it's 53, 54 years, something like that. And I begin to think to myself, how does that take place? Because I've seen my dad lead his wife, my mom, closer to the Lord. Their relationship with God has flourished, and because of that, their relationship has gotten so much stronger. Folks, every woman and wife, woman and man that is married this morning should desire to grow closer together. How does that take place? By the man taking responsibility, leading his wife closer to the Lord. As I continue to go on with this, I need to throw this out here. As we take on that leadership role, man, we need to do this. To allow ourselves to be a help to our wife so that we can encourage her to grow closer to the Lord. And here's what I want to say about this. At the same time, because I've seen this take place, it's not a time for the husband to control the wife with an iron fist. No woman likes to be controlled with an iron fist. What are you saying? Well, honey, I will tell you when to go to the store. I will tell you when to feed me. By the way, I'm going to eat by myself. No one else is going to be in the room. I will tell you when to go to bed. That's what I'm talking about. And I'll be honest with you. There are some men that are out there that are like that, that put themselves on a pedestal and they say, I'm the king of my home. And they rule with an iron fist instead of with love and compassion. Husband should have a great desire to lead his wife and to protect her from harm because of his great love that he has for her. You want your wife to be in submission to you, men? Then I'm going to encourage you, be that man that loves her and protects her and would do anything for her. When I think of leading, my mind automatically does one thing. It goes to the front of the pack. The reason for that is because if there is something harmful in the path, the husband will take on a different role at this time. Let's just say, for an example, my wife just happens to be walking outside and she's not really paying attention. She might have her iTunes on, or she might be in conversation on the phone with somebody, and that happens quite a bit with our society today. And I'm not just picking on my wife. It's everybody. Men are guilty as well. And let's just say she's just in a great conversation. All of a sudden, here comes this car just driving recklessly down the street. And I happen to see this car driving recklessly down the street. And I see that she's in harm's way. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to do this with alligator arms. Honey, get out of the way. Because that's what some men do, because they don't want to get hurt. No, I'm going to throw myself out there. Why? Because I want to protect her. Not only protect her from the physical harm that a car could do to her, but I'm also going to protect her from some spiritual harm as well. Because there are some things that can take place. And hopefully I can explain this as I go on a little bit further in this. The reason why we see so little submission in a marriage is for this reason. Because people want to be free. Freedom to express how they feel or whatever twist they want to put on it. But basically, in reality, freedom from being led by their husband. That's our society today. And what we are facing when it comes to this, and please, women, don't be offended. I'm trying to be a help this morning. And the last thing I want to do is come up here and say, woman, you're bad. Man, we have everything figured out. That's not what I'm trying to do. I spent a great deal on how a woman needs to be submissive to her husband, and it's only going to take place when a man's going to be that person who's going to love her and to lead her. So I dealt with a man first in this issue. But what we are facing in our society today, and it takes place inside churches as well, inside a family of God, and it is this, a rebellious wife. That's taken place. And there's reasons why a wife has become rebellious. And it's going to be a couple of things. One, because she's seeing that her husband's not leading, not being the man that he needs to be. Two, she's seeing a husband who doesn't really love her. And I'm going to be dealing with this here in a little bit as well. And this comes about because of being led astray by culture. Culture seems to be a big influence in many lives. And culture can be good on some levels, but on many levels, culture, unfortunately, is not very beneficial to us. Culture says today, it's okay for a man and a woman to live together without being married. That's what culture says. And so now we're seeing a culture of men and women who decide to do away with the wedding vows. And they decide to just move in together and live happily ever after. But what I've noticed is this. Women normally are happy in this situation because they know their man is not committed to them. Women want men to be committed to them, which is why they go to the next step and take on those wedding vows. So that's what one part of culture says about man and woman. Well, by the way, let me say this. This just came to me. Culture also says this today that I flat out disagree with, and that is this. It's okay for a man to be with a man. It's okay for a woman to be with a woman. If you want to live by culture, that's your business. And I'm going to say what I said last week. I cannot put and force my convictions upon you. But I will say this, according to God's word, you're flat out wrong. Because God doesn't say that. But that's what culture says. Culture today says that I can pick my gender. Did anybody see anything wrong with that? Chad, you're going to go political on us this morning? No, I'm not going to go political on you this morning. I'm a man this morning because that's how God created me. You're a woman this morning because that's how God created you. There's no in between. Amen? There's no woman. It's man and woman. You can't take on a phrase of, I'm going to be a non-binary. What the heck is that? You know what I want to say? Have a Snickers because you're weird. You're really weird at this point in time. But that's what culture says. Culture says today it's okay to leave your spouse when you get married. That's what culture says. By the way, we sit there and we think, okay, that's just the outside world. That's what the unsaved. No, folks, that's what saved people do today too. They get tired of being in a relationship and they say, oh, God wants me to be happy, and so I'm going to leave my husband. You can't prove that to me in Scripture. You can't. But that's what culture says. Culture says it's okay to have an affair. Can I ask you women this morning, please be loud on this. Would you be upset this morning if you found out if your husband is having an affair on you? So it's not okay. Why? Because it's the Word of God. But that's what culture says. And we wonder why there is no submission to the husband and there's no submission to God, because people are choosing to live by culture. So it's okay to have an affair, and it's okay to live how you want to live. No believers should be living their lives based on culture. We should be living our life based upon the Word of God. That's how we should be living our life. By the way, if someone gets offended by it, then amen. I'd rather them be offended by me living by the Word of God than offended because I'm living by culture. The only thing that should be an influence in our lives should be the Bible, living how God says that we are to live. If the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husband, then without a doubt, that is how we are to live our lives. Why? Because the Word of God says so. If you don't agree with it, take it up with God. That's your only alternative. God says to the husband, husband, be the head of your wife. Love her, nourish her, be compassionate towards her, teach her, guide her, lead her for this reason. Husband, if you want your wife to be a godly wife and to be in submission, then buddy, you better be in submission to God. There's reasons why wives do not become submissive to their Christian husbands, because their Christian husband is not in submission to God Almighty. See, those two things go in hand. The same goes for the church. Christ is the head of the church, and we better be in submission to him, being willing to follow him wherever he decides to lead us. With that being said, stop being so comfortable sitting in the boat. Get out and do what God has called you and led you to do. Some people become so spiritual times, well, Chad, I just need to pray about it. That's good. I would recommend if something was going to be a change in your life, I would say, you know, let's go to Scripture and let's pray about it for 3 days and three nights. But I heard this in my life. Someone once said something to me years ago, and it is this. There comes a time to where you just need to start putting feet to your prayers. I think about it. Chad, could you please pray that God would save my husband? And would you please pray that God would save my children? That's a good thing to do. But if you're not going to be willing to witness to them, then what good is that going to be? You need to put feet to your prayers. I covet your prayers with me on this, Chad, that God would give me the wisdom, and that God would give me desire, that God would give me the words, so that I can be a witness to my husband and to my children, so that they can come to know the Lord as their Savior in Jesus Christ. Putting feet to your prayers. You could be missing out on the will of God in your life because, one, you're not being submissive to him. You're not even following. But we allow culture to change the way we should be living. The second thing that I see comes in verse number 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. One, the wife is called to be in submission, but the husband is called to do what, gentlemen? To love his wife. See, when you first opened up your word this morning, you saw wives submit yourselves unto your husbands as in the Lord in verse number 22. Probably most women here this morning are great. Here we go again. I want you to understand what's taking place. I'm really talking to us husbands this morning. So as we continue to go on, the husband is called to love his wife. And there's a difference when it comes to loving your wife compared to loving sports? Think about that. Your love for sports should not overtake the love for your wife. But that's the society that we live in. If that's your idea of love, then really you have no idea what love is. We see at the end of this verse that love is giving. It says, and gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for the church. He gave himself for this, so that he may sanctify and cleanse the church. As you see that in verse number 26, men, what stops us from giving? Could it be that we really don't care about our wife? You know why we should love our wives? Christ says this here in this chapter. And here's what I want to give you this morning. I told you I was going to give you an answer on a few things, and here's one of the answers. Why should we love our wives? Why should we be giving to our lives? For this reason, so that we can present her holy before God. Pastors, preachers, missionaries, evangelists, even Sunday school teachers that teach the Word of God, they're going to stand before God and they're going to be accountable for what they taught and how they led their congregation. That's also true for the man. We're going to be held accountable for how we present our wife to the Lord when the time comes. God's going to say, hey, I gave you the instruction. I told you how you should live, and I told you how you should be loving. I told you how you should be giving. I gave you example after example. But we love and we give because we want to present our wives holy before the Lord. God's Holy Spirit is not defiled. God's Holy Spirit is not dirty. Unlike the spirit of the natural man that is dirty, the spirit of this world, human nature, but God's Spirit is different. The spirit of man is this. It's murderous and it's hateful in every way. The Spirit of God is holy. It is righteous. It is good. It is pure. It is kind. It is gentle. It is merciful. It is submissive. And it's all down out of love. Men, that's the spirit that we need to take on for our wives. To have all those attributes. You know how we can avoid so many intense fellowships in our life with our spouse is by taking on these attributes of God. Women, how would you love it if a problem happened at your house? Let's say the plumbing got all backed up and you discovered it while you're doing dishes, and you turn to your husband and honey, you say, hey, the sink's plugged. You know what the natural reaction of the man is? And I testify because I've done this. Well, why in the world would you do dishes with all that gunk in there? That's your fault. You go outside, you get the snake, and you begin to clean that out. That's what our natural reaction is. How about it would be, women, if you heard this? That's okay, honey. We'll take care of it. It's no big deal. That's a drop the mic moment there, Q. Moving right along. Men, do we have this kind of a spirit of love towards the wife that God has given you? This is what it means by giving. Are we giving this type of love and showing this type of love towards our spouse? Sure, flowers are nice. They're a great thing. Going out to dinner on occasions, it's a great thing. Making her feel special, having her dress up, going to a special restaurant, Chick-fil-A, whatever it is. Or, hey, that's special to my wife. She'll take Chick-fil-A any day. Or even buying her presents. Those are things that we think about. Those are all nice suggestions, but they're all outer. They're all outer. And they quickly fade away. The flowers die, the dinner's done, and the present becomes old and tucked underneath a bed somewhere. Those are all nice suggestions. But the other things that I have mentioned about the Spirit of God are all inward. And it truly shows the love that you have towards her. So how do we get our wife that God gave us to be in submission? By showing her the true love that you have for her. Being caring, being kind, being good, being gentle, being merciful, and men, being submissive to God Almighty. Every single woman of God that I know, I haven't met one yet, but everyone that I've known wants a submissive husband to the Lord. That's what they desire. And I'm going to close with this thought. If we want to walk in unity as a church, because this is what this is about, if we want to walk in unity as a church and as a family, then we must submit one to another. We overlooked verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And as we submit to one another, we do this for this reason, because we love one another. And we accomplish this by being giving to one another as well. This church is how we are able to walk together in unity. And I hope that you've seen this morning through God's word. Again, I didn't come in here and say, wives, you're horrible and you need to be submissive. No, I'm here this morning. Men, wake up. Wake up. Because we need to be the leaders for the wife that God gave us. Care for her. Take care of her. Love her in ways that you can't even think of. And I'll tell you this, it'll be beneficial. Amen? As I said earlier, when you do those things, life will be so much better for a husband and wife. The unity that's there will be just incredible. And we can do that as a church as well. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer and have some time of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We ask that you would, first of all, we as men that have heard this lesson this morning, God help us to be submissive to you, to your will, to your calling, to your way of living, so that our wives will follow, and when the time comes, we can present her wholly to you. We ask you these things, Lord, in your name, amen. We ask you these things in your precious name, amen. Today we're going to see a few things, and we just read them, so let me just give them to you again if you want to write them down. One, we're going to be talking about submitting or submission, and second, we will see the importance of love. These two go hand in hand. And the third, we will see why the first two steps are needed for unity. So hopefully we can establish that today. Before we even begin this lesson, again, please try to have an open mind, because normally what happens, people come to church and they close their mind automatically and they don't want to listen. And if that's you, I hope you can have a change of heart this morning. So many people shut this lesson down because of the word of submission. Remember, God has a purpose for the church and individuals as well when it comes to the word submit or submission. Submission, submitting, is an act of following. That's what it is. It's an act of following. I'm going to give you something that I thought was kind of interesting as I was studying this week. Any leader who does not submit to wise counsel of those he leads is plunging the whole organization into disaster. It's a good thought, which is why I thought it would be good for us to hear that. So what do we fear when we will not to submit to one another. There's an actual fear that takes place in our lives when we hear the word submit, and the preacher's telling us, man, I got to submit to my wife, and now I'm also hearing the church needs to submit to Christ, and we automatically become in fear to those things. And so we're going to discuss that just a little bit. Could it be, is it the loss of control? Because when we're submitting to somebody, we're thinking to ourselves, well, I'm no longer going to have control of myself. I'm no longer going to have control of the situation. So could it be, is it a loss of control? Second, could it be because it might be a loss of power? Is that why we might be afraid of submitting one to another? Do we fail to make peace with an offended brother because we are afraid of losing a battle? Think about those things. We see that pride, through this, when it comes to submitting, rears its ugly head in individuals, causing us to feel that we are about to lose something. But in reality, we're not losing anything, we're gaining. And we got to think about what we are gaining in this when it comes to, as a church, submitting ourselves to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because there's so much that we can gain from that. There's a lot of benefits in that. There's also a lot of benefits and a lot of things that you can gain as a wife when a wife begins to submit herself to her husband. Again, that word submit is following. So what does that mean, men? Men, if you want your wife to follow you, then by golly, you better lead her. Do I need to say that again, men? Are you sleeping? I'm serious. If you want your wife to follow, then you better lead. Because here's what we're dealing with in our society today. Men are no longer leading their families. They're taking the back seats, and they're allowing their wife to lead the family. And the wife has taken the role of the man in our world today, and that's not how it should be. Because men do not see the responsibility of being the leader for their family. And so now you have a wife who realized what submission is, and she's submitting her life to God, and she's married to this husband who's not leading, but she's got children with this husband, and she wants her children to be raised and nourished in the Word of God. And so the woman nowadays has to take on the role of the leadership of a man and begin to lead her family because the man will not do that thing. So I'm going to say it again. Men, if you want your wife to follow you, then you better lead her. Amen? You better lead her. So as we continue this subject, pride will rear its ugly head, causing us to feel that we are about to lose something, but we're going to gain. This is why the Bible shows humility to be a choice. Amen? The fear of loss to our ego has to be challenged and overcome. I'm going to give you this thought because I like this thought. Overcomers are conquerors, and this is a great attribute to have. Isn't it great to be an overcomer? Amen? Okay, well, let's continue to go on. Did you guys stay up late last night? I know sometimes Pastor says when Chad begins to teach, go ahead and go to sleep. Please wake up. You can go to sleep the next hour. I got you back, Dad. I hear those jokes you tell people in the van, so it comes back to me. But anyways, we continue to go on here. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is submitting so difficult? There can be many reasons to why some feel this way, but maybe it's because it's a sense of a loss of freedom. Let me begin to explain this. The thought could occur in our minds, what do I have to give up to be in submission, whether it be to Christ or to my husband? If this is how we look at it, a loss of freedom, we are thinking wrong about what it means to submit. I'm going to give you a few reasons why we should submit. One, to show that we are willing to follow. I've just hit on this for the last few moments, so hopefully that will stick with you. We need to be willing to follow when it comes to submitting. The second reason is because of this, and we're going to deal with this towards the end of this chapter. The second reason why we submit is because we love. And love will give us the ability to do things that seem impossible. That's what love does for us. And hopefully we can see this as we continue to go on. Submitting to your husband is saying, I'm trusting you to lead us closer to the Lord. Women, with a nod of your head or maybe an amen, how many of you would say, I would love for my husband to lead me closer to the Lord? Amen. That's what we need. Is our husbands taken, not, I said our husbands, so don't get me wrong when I say that, because I know people are going to say, well, Chad, you just realized you said our husbands, you put yourself in there. I'm talking about the women here, okay? Women that are married, that are God-fearing women, desire for their spouse to lead them closer to the Lord. You know, one of the amazing things that I've seen take place over my life as I begin to look out at the elderly who have been around for a long time and been married for many years is the little old lady just taking a back seat, being humbled, and letting her husband lead her to Christ. That's an important job, men, that we have when it comes to taking on the responsibility of being a godly husband, is leading our wives closer to the Lord. And where are some areas that we can be of help to our spouse when it comes to leading them closer to the Lord? Well, there's a few things that I can think off of the top of my head that I didn't write down. One is we can be an encouragement to help her to have more of a desire to read her Bible on a daily basis. The second thing I believe that we can do to lead her closer to the Lord is this: encourage her to have a deep, intimate prayer life with her Lord. And I'll guarantee you this, as she's opening up her word and allowing God to speak to her, and then as the word of God is speaking to her, she begins to go in prayer, there's a few things that she's praying for. I can almost guarantee you this. And on the top of her list is this: God, please guide my husband. God, please give my husband the wisdom and the ability and the character that he needs to be a godly man for myself and for the children that I bore with him. And I'll guarantee you this, as she begins to pray for those things, there's going to be a couple things that's going to happen. One, the most important thing is, her relationship with God is going to grow immensely. Why? Because the husband is taking a role and taking a part in the life of his wife, being an encouragement to have a better relationship with the Lord. And so her relationship is going to flourish with the Lord. And she's going to be able to, during times that the man needs some guidance, she's going to be able to give her wisdom to you. By the way, I seek the wisdom of my wife. There are times where realistically, I'm not even embarrassed to say this, there'll be times I'll just cry on her shoulder. Because I'm seeking her wisdom, because I know that she's seeking God. Now, if she wasn't, I wouldn't be seeking that. But she's able to give me wisdom in areas that I might not have. So as her relationship with God begins to grow, here's what's going to take place. This is a beautiful picture. All husbands and wives should have a desire to grow even closer together. I mean, when you think about a husband and a wife being married, I was thinking about I was getting my hair cut yesterday. And of course, my hairstylist, she was making fun of how light my hair has gotten lately. And she gets her jabs in at me. That's fine. And I said, you know, I really can't help it. I take after my father and his side of the family. And And so she goes, "I'd like to see a picture of your father." So I pulled out a picture of my father that he just took a few weeks ago with my daughter in the back. And she goes, "Oh, he's a handsome man, very handsome." I said, "Well, now you know where I get this from." But I said this, you know, I said, one thing I really appreciate about my dad is this, is the years of marriage that he and my mom have had. And I believe it's 53, 54 years, something like that. And I begin to think to myself, how does that take place? Because I've seen my dad lead his wife, my mom, closer to the Lord. Their relationship with God has flourished, and because of that, their relationship has gotten so much stronger. Folks, every woman and wife, woman and man that is married this morning should desire to grow closer together. How does that take place? By the man taking responsibility, leading his wife closer to the Lord. As I continue to go on with this, I need to throw this out here. As we take on that leadership role, man, we need to do this. To allow ourselves to be a help to our wife so that we can encourage her to grow closer to the Lord. And here's what I want to say about this. At the same time, because I've seen this take place, it's not a time for the husband to control the wife with an iron fist. No woman likes to be controlled with an iron fist. What are you saying? Well, honey, I will tell you when to go to the store. I will tell you when to feed me. By the way, I'm going to eat by myself. No one else is going to be in the room. I will tell you when to go to bed. That's what I'm talking about. And I'll be honest with you. There are some men that are out there that are like that, that put themselves on a pedestal and they say, "I'm the king of my home." And they rule with an iron fist instead of with love and compassion. Husbands should have a great desire to lead his wife and to protect her from harm because of his great love that he has for her. You want your wife to be in submission to you, men? Then I'm going to encourage you, be that man that loves her and protects her and would do anything for her. When I think of leading, my mind automatically does one thing. It goes to the front of the pack. The reason for that is because if there is something harmful in the path, the husband will take on a different role at this time. Let's just say, for an example, my wife just happens to be walking outside and she's not really paying attention. She might have her iTunes on, or she might be in conversation on the phone with somebody, and that happens quite a bit with our society today. And I'm not just picking on my wife; it's everybody. Men are guilty as well. And let's just say she's just in a great conversation. All of a sudden, here comes this car, just driving recklessly down the street, and I happen to see this car driving recklessly down the street, and I see that she's in harm's way. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to do this with alligator arms. Honey, get out of the way, because that's what some men do because they don't want to get hurt. No, I'm going to throw myself out there. Why? Because I want to protect her. Not only protect her from the physical harm that a car could do to her, but I'm also going to protect her from some spiritual harm as well. Because there are some things that can take place. And hopefully I can explain this as I go on a little bit further in this. The reason why we see so little submission in a marriage is for this reason. Because people want to be free. Freedom to express how they feel or whatever twist they want to put on it. But basically, in reality, freedom from being led by their husband. That's our society today. And what we are facing when it comes to this, and please, women, don't be offended. I'm trying to be a help this morning. And the last thing I want to do is come up here and say, "Woman, you're bad. Man, we have everything figured out." That's not what I'm trying to do. I spent a great deal on how a woman needs to be submissive to her husband, and it's only going to take place when a man's going to be that person who's going to love her and to lead her. So I dealt with a man first in this issue. But what we are facing in our society today, and it takes place inside churches as well, inside a family of God, and it is this: a rebellious wife. That's taken place. And there's reasons why a wife has become rebellious. And it's going to be a couple of things. One, because she's seeing that her husband's not leading, not being the man that he needs to be. Two, she's seeing a husband who doesn't really love her. And I'm going to be dealing with this here in a little bit as well. And this comes about because of being led astray by culture. Culture seems to be a big influence in many lives. And culture can be good on some levels, but on many levels, culture, unfortunately, is not very beneficial to us. Culture says today, it's okay for a man and a woman to live together without being married. That's what culture says. And so now we're seeing a culture of men and women who decide to do away with the wedding vows, and they decide to just move in together and live happily ever after. But what I've noticed is this. Women normally aren't happy in this situation because they know their man is not committed to them. Women want men to be committed to them, which is why they go to the next step and take on those wedding vows. So that's what one part of culture says about man and woman. Well, by the way, let me say this. This just came to me. Culture also says this today that I flat out disagree with, and that is this. It's okay for a man to be with a man. It's okay for a woman to be with a woman. If you want to live by culture, that's your business. And I'm going to say what I said last week. I cannot put and force my convictions upon you. But I will say this. According to God's word, you're flat out wrong. Because God doesn't say that. But that's what culture says. Culture today says that I can pick my gender. Anybody see anything wrong with that? Chad, you're going to go political on us this morning? No, I'm not going to go political on you this morning. I'm a man this morning because that's how God created me. You're a woman this morning because that's how God created you. There's no in between. Amen? There's no woman. It's man and woman. You can't take on the phrase, I'm going to be a non-binary. What the heck is that? You know what I want to say? Have a Snickers, because you're weird. You're really weird at this point in time. But that's what culture says. Culture says today it's okay to leave your spouse when you get married. That's what culture says. By the way, we sit there and we think, okay, that's just the outside world. That's what the unsaved. No, folks, that's what saved people do today too. They get tired of being in a relationship and they say, oh, God wants me to be happy, and so I'm going to leave my husband. You can't prove that to me in Scripture. You can't. But that's what culture says. Culture says it's okay to have an affair. Can I ask you women this morning, please be loud on this. Would you be upset this morning if you found out if your husband is having an affair on you? So it's not okay. Why? Because it's the Word of God. But that's what culture says. And we wonder why there is no submission to the husband and there's no submission to God, because people are choosing to live by culture. So it's okay to have an affair, and it's okay to live how you want to live. No believers should be living their lives based on culture. We should be living our life based upon the Word of God. That's how we should be living our life. By the way, if someone gets offended by it, then amen. I'd rather them be offended by me living by the Word of God than offended because I'm living by culture. The only thing that should be an influence in our lives should be the Bible, living how God says that we are to live. If the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husband, then without a doubt, that is how we are to live our lives. Why? Because the Word of God says so. If you don't agree with it, take it up with God. That's your only alternative. God says to the husband, husband, be the head of your wife. Love her, nourish her, be compassionate towards her, teach her, guide her, lead her for this reason. Husband, if you want your wife to be a godly wife and to be in submission, then buddy, you better be in submission to God. There's reasons why wives do not become submissive to their Christian husbands, because their Christian husband is not in submission to God Almighty. See, those two things go in hand. The same goes for the church. Christ is the head of the church, and we better be in submission to him, being willing to follow him wherever he decides to lead us. With that being said, stop being so comfortable sitting in the boat. Get out and do what God has called you and led you to do. Some people become so spiritual times, well, Chad, I just need to pray about it. That's good. I would recommend if something was going to be a change in your life, I would say, you know, let's go to Scripture and let's pray about it for 3 days and three nights. But I heard this in my life. Someone once said something to me years ago, and it is this. There comes a time to where you just need to start putting feet to your prayers. I think about it. Chad, could you please pray that God would save my husband? And would you please pray that God would save my children? That's a good thing to do. But if you're not going to be willing to witness to them, then what good is that going to be? You need to put feet to your prayers. I covet your prayers with me on this, Chad, that God would give me the wisdom, and that God would give me desire, that God would give me the words, so that I can be a witness to my husband and to my children, so that they can come to know the Lord as their Savior in Jesus Christ. Putting feet to your prayers. You could be missing out on the will of God in your life, because one, you're not being submissive to him. You're not even following. But we allow culture to change the way we should be living. The second thing that I see comes in verse number 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. One, the wife is called to be in submission, but the husband is called to do what, gentlemen? To love his wife. See, when you first opened up your word this morning and you saw wives submit yourselves unto your husbands as in the Lord in verse number 22, probably most women here this morning, great, here we go again. Now, I want you to understand what's taking place. I'm really talking to us husbands this morning. So as we continue to go on, the husband is called to love his wife. And there's a difference when it comes to loving your wife compared to loving sports. Think about that. Your love for sports should not overtake the love for your wife. But that's the society that we live in. If that's your idea of love, then really you have no idea what love is. We see at the end of this verse that love is giving. It says, and gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for the church. He gave himself for this, so that he may sanctify and cleanse the church. As you see that in verse number 26, men, what stops us from giving? Could it be that we really don't care about our wife? You know why we should love our wives? Christ says this here in this chapter. And here's what I want to give you this morning. I told you I was going to give you an answer on a few things, and here's one of the answers. Why should we love our wives? Why should we be giving to our lives? For this reason, so that we can present her holy before God. Pastors, preachers, missionaries, evangelists, even Sunday school teachers that teach the Word of God, they're going to stand before God and they're going to be accountable for what they taught and how they led their congregation. That's also true for the man. We're going to be held accountable for how we present our wife to the Lord when the time comes. God's going to say, hey, I gave you the instruction. I told you how you should live, and I told you how you should be loving. I told you how you should be giving. I gave you example after example. But we love and we give because we want to present our wives holy before the Lord. God's Holy Spirit is not defiled. God's Holy Spirit is not dirty. Unlike the spirit of the natural man that is dirty, the spirit of this world, human nature, but God's Spirit is different. The spirit of man is this. It's murderous and it's hateful in every way. The Spirit of God is holy. It is righteous. It is good. It is pure. It is kind. It is gentle. It is merciful. It is submissive. And it's all down out of love. Men, that's the spirit that we need to take on for our wives. To have all those attributes. You know how we can avoid so many intense fellowships in our life with our spouse is by taking on these attributes of God. Women, how would you love it if a problem happened at your house? Let's say the plumbing got all backed up and you discovered it while you're doing dishes and you turn to your husband and honey, you say, hey, the sink's plugged. You know what the natural reaction of the man is? And I testify because I've done this. Well, why in the world would you do dishes with all that gunk in there? That's your fault. You go outside, you get the snake, and you begin to clean that out. That's what our natural reaction is. How about it would be, women, if you heard this? That's okay, honey. We'll take care of it. It's no big deal. That's a drop the mic moment there, Q. Moving right along. Men, do we have this kind of a spirit of love towards the wife that God has given you? This is what it means by giving. Are we giving this type of love and showing this type of love towards our spouse? Sure, flowers are nice. They're a great thing. Going out to dinner on occasions, it's a great thing. Making her feel special, having her dress up, going to a special restaurant, Chick-fil-A, whatever it is. Or, hey, that's special to my wife. She'll take Chick-fil-A any day. Or even buying her presents. Those are things that we think about. Those are all nice suggestions, but they're all outer. They're all outer. And they quickly fade away. The flowers die, the dinner's done, and the present becomes old and tucked underneath a bed somewhere. Those are all nice suggestions. But the other things that I have mentioned about the Spirit of God are all inward, and it truly shows the love that you have towards her. So how do we get our wife that God gave us to be in submission? By showing her the true love that you have for her. Being caring, being kind, being good, being gentle, being merciful, and men being submissive to God Almighty. Every single woman of God that I know, I haven't met one yet, but everyone that I've known wants a submissive husband to the Lord. That's what they desire. And I'm going to close with this thought. If we want to walk in unity as a church, because this is what this is about, if we want to walk in unity as a church and as a family, then we must submit one to another. We overlooked verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And as we submit to one another, we do this for this reason, because we love one another. And we accomplish this by being giving to one another as well. This church is how we are able to walk together in unity. And I hope that you've seen this morning through God's word. Again, I didn't come in here and say, wives, you're horrible and you need to be submissive. No, I'm here this morning. Men, wake up. Wake up. Because we need to be the leaders for the wife that God gave us. Care for her. Take care of her. Love her in ways that you can't even think of. And I'll tell you this, it'll be beneficial. Amen? As I said earlier, when you do those things, life will be so much better for a husband and wife. The unity that's there will be just incredible. And we can do that as a church as well. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer and have some time of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We ask that you would, first of all, we as men that have heard this lesson this morning, God help us to be submissive to you, to your will, to your calling, to your way of living, so that our wives will follow, and when the time comes, we can present her wholly to you. We ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.